for the Dungeon of Delirium Halloween Special.
You decided to join us tonight as we continue our terrible tale. If you haven't listened to the first episode of the Halloween special, Stranger Danger, go back and listen now. Once again, I am Drusilda the Dungeon Witch, your horrible hostess for this year's celebration. Don't forget to enter the bong giveaway. Rate us 5 stars and send us a screenshot at Dungeon of Delirium on Instagram or contact at dungeonofdelirium.com if you're so inclined. Last night we met Dina Jarvis and a ne'er-do-well named Tommy. Poor Rufus got tossed on the ground and little Dina got a ride in a pizza car. But just a few hours prior, Tommy and some friends made a decision they'd soon come to regret. Rumors of a dead body and hopes of a Halloween thrill await them. After all, what's a little trouble on Halloween night?
You guys want to see a dead body?
Dead body?
Dead body?
Dead body?
Dead body?
Dead body?
You guys want to see a dead body?
Shut up, Tommy.
I'm serious. At the barn on Thornbriar Farm.
He reached down into the shopping bag that he was holding and plucked a fresh egg from it, turning his attention to their principal's house. Tommy was always getting the boys into trouble. Ever since he got a blowjob from Jackie Gildenhorn, he acted like the king of their freshman class. In a sense, he was. He was the first person either of them knew who had actually touched a girl's boob. So he had a lot of sway with Sam and Luke.
Come on, Luke. We ain't got shit else to do.
Tommy tossed the egg and it splattered across the bay window of Principal Brackley's home. They were 14 years old, too old to trick-or-treat, and too young to booze and fuck. All they had on Halloween was egging houses, smoking cigarettes they'd stolen from Luke's dad, and maybe setting a fire or two. In short, trouble was their only outlet on Halloween. Tommy's eyes bore a hole in Luke's skull. Luke was always the voice of reason, but a voice of reason that was historically never listened to. Somewhere along the way, he'd lost interest in steering them in his direction and had embraced the fun of it all.
Okay, fuck it. Show us this body.
All right, but you gotta toss your egg first.
I have a better idea.
He walked back down the driveway and opened up the mailbox. Jackpot. Brackley hadn't gotten his mail yet. He then rifled through it to see if there was anything good. He found what looked to be a birthday card, perhaps. He tore it open hungrily. A card for Brackley's son. There was a $20 bill tucked inside, and he swiped it and put it in his pocket, replacing the card in the back of the mailbox, away from what he was about to do. Then he smashed his egg all over the phone bill and the Ann Taylor catalog and closed the mailbox. Fuck Principal Brackley. Thornbriar Farm was a bit of a local legend. It was set back at least a mile from the road, and that road was almost an hour to get to by bike. They'd been up there plenty of times, but never on Halloween night, and they'd never been into the barn before. The prospect was a bit scary for them, even if nobody seemed to live there anymore.
How much further is it?
Sam sputtered, clearly straining to pedal fast enough. Tommy, however, was blazing up the path like a bat out of hell.
I feel like my fucking legs are gonna break.
They ditched their bikes next to a gnarled old oak tree that loomed over the broken mailbox and jagged, rotted picket fence. The driveway wound through a canopy of maple, oak, and even weeping willow trees that darkened the quickly setting sun to a faint, amber glow. It was so thick that it felt more like a tunnel than a road, more like walking through the bowels of a gargantuan snake than a driveway. They could see a house set far back from the road, which meant the barn would be just over the crest of the next hill. Debris, trash, and empty beer cans dotted the edge of the road. A few of the trees bore the marks of spray paint and love poems carved with jackknives by careless teenage hands.
Here,
Tommy said matter-of-factly. As they navigated the winding drive, the barn came into view. Sam looked at Luke with concern.
When did you see this body, Tommy?
I didn't. Blake Green told me about it. He and Sandra saw it last week.
And you believed him? He's a fucking liar. I doubt Sandra would have come here with him.
He made it to second base in there. Would have gone to home plate if it weren't for the body.
This would be a bust for sure. Blake was that kid who would tell you he had a Lamborghini at home if he thought you'd believe it. The sky was shades of red, orange, and violet now, and the dark gray wood of the dilapidated barn contrasted against it, popping off the backdrop and looming like a hungry owl on a tree branch.
I don't know.
Come on, pussy.
Tommy said in a robotic voice. He grinned, holding a cheap plastic voice changer to his lips.
Fine.
Beyond the prospect of seeing a dead body, or being caught by someone still occupying the property, or even worse, the police, there was another reason the boys were scared of the barn. Even Tommy, with all of his bravado, showed signs of trepidation as they drew closer. Before the mines had closed, long before their parents' parents had lived in town, before the roads had grown over and the center of town had moved west, there used to be a famous candy shop in that barn. Children would come from miles around, especially on Halloween night, for handmade sweets. Parents would have a social dance in that barn. It was the center of the season's celebrations. In 1959, there was a tragedy, though stories don't seem to agree on exactly what happened. The only consistent details were these three facts. Fact number one, Dale Irwin, a 9-year-old boy, went missing and was later found in the riverbed, dead. Fact number two, the owner was blamed and, depending on the version of the story, either took his own life or was killed by the townsfolk. Some stories say he was buried alive in a vat of molasses. Others say they just shot him in the head. Fact number three, the candy shop closed. The stories also seem to agree, in the very loosest sense, of what happened next. Kids began going missing. Sometimes for good. Sometimes they'd turn up, washed up on the riverbed, covered in a layer of burnt sugar and molasses. The work of the Sugar King. The barn doors were ajar and they slipped in quickly. The waning sunlight cast irregular shadows across the floor. Bits of hay covered the dirt floor and a layer of dust clung to every surface they could see.
Blake is a liar, Tommy. Nobody's been in here for years.
Oh yeah? What about that?
He pointed to a shape on the ground, roughly the size of a human man. It was draped with a tarp that had none of the dust that caked the surrounding surfaces. Something jutted out. Something that could have been a human hand.
Check it out then!
Sam sputtered, unconsciously backing away from the form on the ground.
I'll do it,
Luke said. He wanted to get this over with so they could make it back to town before they'd wasted their entire Halloween.
One, two, three.
Luke ripped the tarp off and winced as he was assaulted by the smell of rot. It was nearly impossible to make sense of what was under that tarp, other than that it was definitely not a body. Rats scurried in every direction. Bugs, maggots, centipedes pooled at their feet. They jumped back. Tommy stomped at the ground. Sam covered his nose and eyes. Luke began dry heaving. Rotting vegetables.
Tommy, what the fuck?
Luke shouted angrily.
Disgusting! Let's get the fuck out of here!
They darted back towards the barn doors, but found they had drifted closed with the wind. The sickly sweet smell of molasses and burning sugar seemed to drift from the outside air, enveloping them and stopping them in their tracks.
I must be Halloween,
came a voice from behind them.
The sugary sweet smell of children in the crisp autumn air. Nothing quite like it.
They spun around.
Those smell like sugar gumdrops and honeysuckle candies. You have a bit of rot to you, don't you?
A dark silhouette emerged from the back of the barn. The shadow of horns and outstretched bony fingers danced across the back wall.
The Sugar King.
I am known by that name, yes, but it isn't what I call myself.
Let's go!
Tommy swung back towards the door.
Not so fast, Thomas.
How did he know Tommy's name?
Luke thought.
I know all the little children in my kingdom, Lucas, Samuel.
Their hearts began to pound audibly. The silhouette slowly emerged from the darkness. First, the bony fingers that seemed to glisten with viscous globs of melted sugar. Nails of orange, yellow, and brown, like candy corn, bent around the fingertips. Arms, bone white, crusted with dots of sugar like sinewy gumdrops. Shiny black robes that reflected the dying sun around the room, casting prismatic beams of light across every surface like crinkling candy wrappers. Horns curved like a ram hewn from melting chocolate. His eyes were glowing red gumdrops, set deep in his skull. His smile was impossibly wide, revealing rows of jagged, rotting teeth that looked like gravestones. As his mouth opened to smile, the smell of sugar and candy was replaced by the smell of sweat and yeast, stale beer and vomit. His tongue, a black and bleeding appendage, traced the gaps between each tooth, sending lines of steaming molasses-like spittle to the ground as he cleaned his cemetery mouth. They were frozen in place.
Who shall I eat first?
His words echoed around the barn, and the smell of candy mingled with the reek of rot.
Little Sammy, the chronic masturbator? No. Too salty for my taste. How about Lucas? Lucas, who still sleeps with a nightlight. Or perhaps Thomas, the great blowjob king. Or is that merely a lie that he told you?
He moved closer, slowly, more oozing than walking. Tears welled in the corners of the boy's eyes.
Such a disappointment to be awoken by such unsavory little treats.
In an instant, he was inches from Luke's face.
What time is it, Lucas?
Luke glanced at his watch quickly, avoiding taking his gaze off the crooked, reeking mouth and those beady, red, candy eyes.
8 o'clock, sir.
Well, then I have a proposition for you boys. I would rather not eat. Puberty does such foul things to the taste of sweet, candied kiddos. But you woke me up, and I will need to eat.
We'll do anything.
A soul for a soul. Bring me a child before midnight, and your debt will be erased. If you fail, well, then I suppose I don't have to tell you what happens. And don't even think of running. You'll never make it far enough in 4 hours.
They looked at each other in a panic. They couldn't say no, but could they say yes?
We'll do it. Back here by midnight with the kid,
Tommy said, regaining the composure he had lost.
What? Where are we going to find a kid?
I'll give you a clue, because I do so want you to succeed. There is a house up the way. Surely you passed it on the way here. Last I knew, there were 2 women living there. I believe they may have a child, though I can't be sure. Then there is a ways back to town. Certainly, there will be many succulent, sugary tots out tricking and treating. May I suggest you split up? You need only bring me one, double your odds. Time is ticking.
You two go to that house. I'll go to town. I know where there's a kid who will be all by herself.
Good. I hope to see you soon.
The Sugar King trailed off as he slunk back into the shadows. Gone was the smell of sugar and candy, of hot beer breath and sweat. Tommy was gone as soon as their legs allowed them to move. He pulled his beanie down over his head. A ski mask all this time. Luke looked at Sam, and Sam looked at Luke. What choice did they have?
Join us tomorrow to find out what trouble Luke and Sam get into while Tommy's busy snatching precious Dina. I, for one, can't wait.
A Little Trouble on Halloween Night was written and directed by Kevin Klosman. Halloween Special by Chelsea Darling and Kevin Klosman. Narration by Kevin Klosman. Starring Cody Crossland as Tommy, Nathan Foster as Sam, Ricardo Rodriguez as Luke, Kevin Klosman as the Sugar King. Join us tomorrow night for the next piece of the Halloween special. We'll see you there.